All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Nicole. I'm a compulsive eater and overeater, and I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me and welcoming me to be of service. I know that is one of our tools, and it's one that does keep me sober, so to speak, because I once held a position and then lost my abstinence one day. For one day, and had to give up that position. And I promised myself it would never happen again. So I've been abstinent since that day again, and just was elected to my inner group as board treasurer. So that was very exciting to be able to live that promise to myself and my higher power that I was going to really lean into the program. So I came into the program. And originally in 2014, February of 2014, and I like to say I was a tourist for 2 years. So I hung out, showed up, came to meetings, talked, attempted very feebly to work the steps. I mean, looking back, I did the best I could at the time. It's not like I was trying to jerk around or anything. I just wasn't ready. I was not ready to give up, pardon me, to give up my addictive foods and addictive behaviors. And during those 2 years, things progressively got worse, as they do, at least in my experience with this disease. And I would go to the meetings and share and cry. I kept gaining weight. My top weight was, I don't even know my top weight because I stopped getting on the scale, but it was high. And I hated myself. I felt terrible. I was sleeping around. I was doing all sorts of crazy things because I needed something to fill the hole. I was desperate to be loved by anyone, anything, and I was willing to do anything for that. I was very angry. Throughout my illness career, if you will. I lost a job due to gossiping, which is, I discovered later, is one of my defects, which miraculously has been mostly removed by my higher power by working the steps. I would fall asleep at work. I would do all sorts of crazy things. And then the food behaviors, I mean, don't even get me started on that. Everything it says in our literature, burnt food, frozen food, food off each other's plates. What else does it say? The only thing basically I did not do is eat it out of the trash. And it's so funny because when I first came into program, like my first day, the first time we read that chapter, I was like, well, I don't do that, so I don't have to be here. I had done everything else in the list, but that one thing, I was like, oh no, that's not me. I'm good. I didn't eat out of the trash. And then I had a revelation. I hit my rock bottom in 2016. And in October of 2016, I got a very serious sponsor. She gave me a food plan, which I had never had before. You know, my 2 tourist years, I just kind of winged it, which to this day I continue to prove to myself that does not work for me. I need a plan. I need to stick to it. And if I don't have a plan, I plan to fail. So she gave me a food plan. I remember it was maybe a quarter of what I was used to eating, half of what I used. I mean, it was reasonable, but compared to what I had been eating, it was not a lot. And I stuck to that food plan almost like it was life or death. And I truly do believe it was at that point. My body was very unhealthy. I was almost type 2 diabetic. I was pre-diabetic. I was insulin resistant. I had a fatty liver. My inflammation markers were off the charts. My triglycerides were off the charts. I couldn't walk up steps without losing my breath. I mean, it was bad. And then, like I said, the emotional and spiritual side wasn't even there, really. I mean, there was nothing. I came into program a raging atheist and to another fellowship a year prior to joining OA. And so I hated God. I couldn't even say the word God, let alone believe that something like a God was going to help me. So I was truly at rock bottom. And that day I got a sponsor. Like I said, she started right away the food plan. And the weight started coming off, and I felt really good about myself, and I thought I had it. And a couple years after that, that's the one day that I said I think looking back, I think I got cocky and I thought I could do it. And I let it get away. I ate too much, and my sponsor and I decided that I had officially lost my abstinence. And like I said, the next day I was like, all right, well, we're not doing this again. And so I started working, and then a couple of years later started getting slippery again, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago. And I think I have the amnesia problem. I know I have the amnesia problem where I think, oh, I got this. I can do this. It's been going really well. And I've also heard it called a shame hit. So when I start doing well, I'm not used to that. And so I have to, it's almost like a self-sabotage. Consciously or unconsciously, I have no idea. But I do it because I can't be happy. That's another defect of mine, is being unworthy of happiness, unworthy of joy, unworthy of love. And I never knew any of that. So recognizing that was a big revelation for me in step work. Was I had no idea any of that existed in my core. And part of recovery for me is uncovering those things and addressing them, whether that's outside program with therapy, whether that's inside program with my sponsor and steps. And 99% of the time, it's a combo deal. I use all the resources, just like it says in our literature, it's okay to get professional help. And that was really hard for me to get professional help because I was like, I'm a failure. If I can't do it with program alone, I'm a failure. And I finally had to accept that higher power put that in my put therapists on earth for me to avail myself of, I guess. So, the unworthy of joy was a big piece. And so I really do believe that I continue or kept continuing to self-sabotage. So a year ago, my health went to heck in a handbasket, and I started gaining weight through no change in food plan. I've been gaining weight for a couple of years through no change in food plan, but nothing as rapid as what it had been. And I worked with my sponsor on coming up with adjusting my food plan. I got to started seeing a therapist, thinking that would help. I saw d doctor after doctor, and no one can really still tell me what's going on, but the weight keeps piling on. And I truly believe at this point that I don't like it. Say that, and I'm not happy about it because I work very hard to keep to my food plan. I work very hard to be abstinent, as our definition is, but the something in my health is not cooperating. And that has been almost an instigator in getting me to work my program even harder. I journal every morning now, which if you don't journal, let me tell you, I hated it. I thought it was stupid. I would write like a form letter every day and just do it, and then I'd fall off the wagon. I got nothing out of it. But when I truly was hitting my spirit, not my spiritual, my emotional rock bottom with my health, I was willing to do anything again. And so I picked up the pen and started writing. And when I tell you the peace and comfort and just epiphanies that happen as a part of writing, it really gets me in touch with my intuition, which I believe is my higher power talking to me. And I mean, I am a convert on journaling. So if you don't do it, give it a try. Writing is one of our tools, but it was transformative for me, to be honest. So I started doing that. I've started writing my food every single day. I used to give it to my sponsor verbally. But now, even if I talk to her, I talk to my sponsor 4 times a week. Even if I talk to her, I write it down. And that makes it real. Just like it says in our literature, it makes, there's a beginning and an end. There's a black and a white. It's on paper. It makes it real. And that for me truly is what writing anything does, but including my food. I talk to higher power more. I talk to people. I go to my meetings. I have a home group that I go to every week. Like I said, I'm of serve, I try to be of service to sponsees and to intergroup. So I like to think I'm trying to do all the right things, and that's a good reminder for me. Thank you, Ross. I appreciate it. Thinking that I can do this on my own, it's like my best thinking got me here. And recognizing that I do not have it and I need to rely on a higher power, whatever that higher power might be. I have a very unconventional higher power. If you ever want to know about it, I always say, feel free to ask. I don't go into specifics. I don't ever want to sway anyone to think a certain way, but no, mine is very unconventional and it works beautifully for me. Because that's all that matters is that there is a God and I'm not it. And that's what I have to remember. And surrender, we were talking during some of the readings before, in the beginning part of this meeting, you know, in the invitation to you, it's surrender, it's weakness and surrender. And surrender to me is goes hand in hand with acceptance. And acceptance does not mean I have to like the situation. It doesn't mean I condone the situation. It means that I accept it, that it is what it is, basically, that it's reality. And if I keep fighting it, things are not going to end well for me, the other person, the environment, whatever, the situation, my employment. I mean, I've proven this to myself over and over and over again. I have the evidence. I'm a very evidence-based person. I have a scientific background, and you know, I've done the cause and control and all of that. So I really truly believe that when I accept something, I can be at peace, and I surrender it because first I have to accept it. I have to say this is reality. This is it is what it is. And then I have to let it go. And oftentimes the surrender part is harder for me out of those two. Acceptance is very difficult, especially when I'm not a fan of what's going on, like with my health. I don't like putting weight on that I worked so hard by following my higher power to lose. And I get angry at my higher power. I'm like, come on, dude. Like, I've been doing all the right things. Where are you? And accepting it as just it is what it is actually draws me closer to my higher power because I am accepting that in some way, shape, or form, this is maybe not how it's supposed to be. That's still hard for me sometimes to wrangle, get my head around, but I can learn something from it. So I truly believe I can learn at this point anything from something. And higher power has proven that also again and again. I've had long COVID. What did I learn from that? How to ask for help. And that was transformative. And that was such a revelation when I realized that was something I don't know if you want to say got out of COVID, but I was able to appreciate from it. But the surrender, yeah, man, that's hard because you're saying I don't have control. And I am a control freak. I will happily, not happily, but I will fully say that I am a control freak. I like to control the environment. I like to control myself. I like to be perfect. So therefore I like to control other people. But recognizing that I don't have control sometimes sets me on a spinning, gets me spinning because it's like, well, what do you mean I have no control? What am I going to do? Everything's going to unravel if Nicole does not have control. But when I can truly surrender, and I heard this once in a meeting, someone saying they were doing this, like clasping their hands and surrender, you go like this. And you can literally feel your body, I don't think this is a word, but untense when you do this. If you just do this for a couple seconds, thank you so much, and do this, you can literally feel, at least for me, your body decompress. And so when I surrender, even if I don't like what's going on, I can say, all right, higher power, I don't know the plan. I don't like the plan as it stands right now, but I can trust you. Or at least at the very, even if I can't trust you, I can say, I'm going to let you handle it. And there are days where I don't necessarily feel like I am trusting, but I can hand it over. So, I will say that if you think of anything, think of acceptance and surrender and, you know, loving yourself. I'll say that as well. So, thank you all so very much for letting me share tonight.